You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As wildfire season ramps up in California, there's a growing push to change the decades-long mindset of fire suppression, which has led to dense areas of vegetation that, coupled with climate change and drought, has contributed to extreme fire risk across the state. The conversation and funding is shifting to change the way we live with fire, which includes reintroducing a long-overdue relationship with prescribed burns to manage forests and reduce mega-record wildfires in recent years. Joining us now are leading experts in forestry management from the Bay Area to the North Coast and Central Sierra, and all women in a field that historically has been overwhelmingly male and white. Dr. Sasha Berlman is the director of Fire Forward Program at the nonprofit Audubon Canyon Ranch based in the Bay Area and is the first graduate of the state's Burn Boss Program. Lenya Quinn Davidson is a fire advisor with the University of California Cooperative Extension in Humboldt County. And Susie Coker is a forestry advisor, also with the University of California Cooperative Extension based in South Lake Tahoe. Welcome all to Insight and good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
I'm curious with the three of you, what drew each of you to fire science, forest management, even firefighting? And when you began, what did diversity look like or not look like? And Sasha, I want to start with you. You've been a wildland firefighter with a hotshot crew based in Redding. So let's start with you.
Yeah, I was really drawn to this quite a while back. I grew up in Southern California in a town surrounded by wildfires every summer. So it was something that I had a lot of experience with and a lot of fear of as a kid, wildfire in particular. And I didn't even know about the fact that people had been living in this really positive way with fire for millennia until I reached community college. Like, it took that long for me to even know that that was the foundation of this place that we live in. And so when I finally learned that, it felt like in this world full of so many problems that like we just can't seem to solve, that is something that we should be able to come to a solution for.
Yeah, and given you're a state certified burn boss, which is a new program, explain what your role is.
Yeah, so in the program that I'm leading, we're primarily training and teaching people about building this relationship with fire so that we can basically bring good fire to the hands of the people. And part of that is implementation of good fire on the ground and allowing people to participate in that with the proper training. And so I pursued that certificate so that I could help lead burns and then teach others to lead burns in this area.
What did diversity look like when you first began your career? And has that changed over recent years as the conversation continues to evolve?
I think we're all constantly trying to continue building diversity in this field. I would say that people like Lenya and others were already doing that work well before I joined or really like got my feet under me making a difference here. So I don't think I've seen tremendous change in the time that I've been doing it, but I walked into this already seeing change happening, and we're all working to continue pushing that change forward.
Yeah. Well, Susie, that brings me to you. Your background in forestry goes back almost two decades.
Three, actually, if you're counting.
Oh, three decades. Yes.
If you're not, that's okay, too.
Not the best at arithmetic. Thank you.
All right. Well, I was very interested in doing something in the outdoors. My family was not at all outdoorsy, and I got all my exposure to camping and canoeing and all those things through Girl Scouting, actually. And I had some great Girl Scout mentors, and one was a forester. I was thinking about what to study, and I was afraid of getting a job where I had to wear pantyhose and pointy shoes. And actually, this has turned out great for me. I really enjoy being able to have that outdoor component in my professional life.
You know, given that you've been involved in forestry now for nearly three decades and you're based in the Sierra and South Lake Tahoe, how has your role and how you view wildfires and the relationship with fire changed over that time?
It's changed a lot. When I first started there, there would be big fires. I remember the Cottonwood Fire in Sierra County was 100,000 acres in about 1993. And that was just amazing. Nobody could believe it. Now we're getting million acre fires. So clearly there's been a huge uptake in that. There's been a big stress on forest health. We had a huge drought and 180 million dead trees, a lot of those concentrated in Sierra Nevada. So the needs have just gotten more urgent for doing fuels reduction and reducing the density of forests over time. Mm. The need's always been there, but the urgency is just amped up every year.
Yeah. Lenya, you've joined us before on Insight, and you're based in the North Coast, and you really focus on the human connection with fire. Where did that begin for you?
You know, my story is kind of similar to Sasha. I grew up in a really remote part of Northern California in Trinity County, and just, you know, surrounded by fire every year. My mom used to work as a cook on big wildfires. So it was a real, it was just a big part of my childhood. And when I went to college, I started taking classes and learning that this was really a natural process and really important. And that was a shift in the way that I had to think about fire. You know, a lot of people who grow up in communities that are impacted by fire are scared of it, understandably. So yeah, it definitely came from my home place.
Yeah. Well, remind us how fire is an essential part of California's ecosystem.
Well, you know, most California ecosystems are either fire adapted, meaning that they have evolved, you know, to withstand fire, or they're actually fire dependent, meaning that they actually require fire in some way to persist on the landscape. So when we look around, anywhere you are in California, that landscape's going to have a fire story to tell. And it's up to us to figure out what that is. It looks different in different places. Sometimes it's really frequent fire. You know, sometimes these habitats need fire to regenerate, like the giant sequoia. So yeah, there's such a strong connection between the trees and the plants that we all love and fire in California. It's really an important process here.
What have been the consequences of muting that relationship over the last decades in terms of what the landscape of forests and vegetation look like?
There have been huge ecological and cultural consequences from keeping fire off the landscape. So we, of course, see, like Susie mentioned, forest densification. So a lot more trees and a lot more shrubs on the landscape. And those are sucking water out of the ground. They're less healthy because they're so thick and they're competing with each other. They're more vulnerable to drought mortality, like Craig was talking about in the previous segment. So we see a lot of that overly dense vegetation, but also species composition shifts, you know, so we're seeing that we're losing certain species that really rely on fire, and then other species that don't have as strong a connection with fire are taking over. So you can think of it kind of like invasive species. A lot of other kinds of species are favored when there isn't fire on the ground.
You know, Susie, since you can really have the hindsight of going back like three decades, when it comes to the tradition of controlled burns, I mean, was there a period in the beginning where it just didn't happen at all? And that's really been scaling up in years since?
Well, I would say different public agencies have been burning for some amount of time, and it's different by agency. The Park Service has been doing a lot of burning for at least 30 or 40 years. The Forest Service is trying to scale up and does some amount. What's really changing now is the amount of fire being used on private lands, partially because of these amazing ladies here with me trying to help private landowners learn how to burn and take care of their own properties.
Yeah, well, Sasha, you're a burn boss. How has the conversation and investment changed in regards to wildfire management as opposed to primarily suppression and prevention?
You're asking about using wildfires
Yes.
to accomplish objectives? Yeah, in our area, I mean, I'm working in the Bay Area, and that's still mostly being seen as not even really an option to talk about. I think it's gaining more traction on federal lands, although we are starting to have conversations about PODs, which is, potential operational delineation systems or something like that.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. So PODs worked well. And the idea is that, like, we would use these predetermined roads or ridges to contain fire, which I think makes a lot of sense with the fires that we've been seeing lately. And once we get those underway, there's also the potential that those could be used as, you know, big box prescribed burns to working on a landscape scale. So there's some hope there.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about prescribed fire with three leaders in their respective fields, Dr. Shasha Berlman, Lenya Quinn-Davidson, and Susie Coker. I'm curious, since, you know, we really have a pretty wide canvas from the Bay Area to the North Coast to the Central Sierra, there has been a record investment from the state when it comes to prescribed firing operations, but I'm curious, and Shasha, you touched upon this in the Bay Area, when working with residents and the community, how has a community mindset changed when it comes to a relationship with fire? Lenya, I'll start with you.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I think that there has been a major shift in the conversation around prescribed fire in California over the last, you know, in my career. I've been working on this for 15 years, and I'd say in the last 5 years, there's just been a radical change in the way people are talking about it. And I think we've moved from the conversation being, how can we get the public on board with prescribed fire, to how can we meet the demands of the public around prescribed fire? People want it, they know it's important, and they're asking for it. And so people like Susie and Shasha and I are just trying to keep up with the demand. There's such an appetite for this work, and it's because it's so positive. Like Shasha said, it's a solution-oriented, you know, something people can sink their teeth into and can feel good about, and people want to be involved. So we really can just barely keep up. We can't keep up, actually. And our phones are ringing off the hook, and people want to take part in this.
Yeah, Susie, I mean, we're talking about multiple arms in this, from public to private. How do you, I guess, collaborate and organize private landowners and volunteers to manage and control fires?
Well, mostly I'm helping organize private landowners to help do controlled fires themselves. But over the last few years, I've been working with people like Lenya and Shasha to host educational workshops. Over the last 4 years, we've had about 33 workshop days throughout the Sierra Nevada, and we've had 1,000 people attend. And since one of the locations where we do a lot of burning, UC Berkeley's Research Forest at Blodgett in Georgetown, is very close to the Capitol. We've had a lot of people from state government, state agencies, big nonprofits. There really has not been any other location to learn about how to do prescribed fire before we started doing this. If you're an individual, you can't really go to a agency burning class. You can't partake with agencies in burning. And so really these events need to be structured around landowners' needs in locations where they can take part. So usually we do a one-day workshop where we learn all about fire and firing methods and goals and control. And then we do it in the field burn, usually. Sometimes we've been rained out or not gotten a permit, but we've gotten about half those people to be able to hold a drip torch and start to burn stuff. And it's super fun. People are so excited, like Lenya said. Some people are concerned when they see fire on the ground, but generally it's about 15 minutes of watching it burn slowly until they're kind of bored and they realize this is not going to burn my house down if we do everything right. Yeah. This is actually a tool that I could possibly use at my house.
You, given that, I mean, you're talking about over 1,000 people expressing interest. I mean, that's extraordinary. I mean, are there, when listening to these people, are there challenges when it comes to private landowners wanting to use prescribed fire on their property? And how do you overcome those barriers?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is just the experience level. We do find people who've been burning with their families for some generations, but they're rare. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about burning and how to do it. There's a lot of concern over liability, which is natural. But a lot of the people I work with are already burning piles on their property. And really, the liability is not any different than when you're burning a pile. And so it's more about people's lack of comfort and lack of experience than anything that's more dangerous, in my opinion. And so helping people overcome that, giving them technical assistance so they can learn how to put in control lines on their property and what might be a good start really helps. And we're starting small. We're starting with maybe landowners having you know, 10 acres and burning 1 acre with their neighbors. And then they learn really that comfort level. And that may not sound big, but when you think about the fact that there are over 75,000 forest landowners in California that have at least 10 acres, if they each burned 1 acre or 3 acres, you would actually be making a dent in this problem.
Yeah, I mean, that mindset is huge. And given, you know, Susie, you're in South Lake Tahoe, Lainey, you're up in Humboldt. Sasha, you're in the Bay Area. I mean, each area has its own unique, you know, dynamics. So Sasha, what have you learned from educating community stakeholders? What are they telling you?
We've really been seeing since we launched this program, there was a lot of trauma in 2017 from the first catastrophic wildfires that hit here and ever since. And we're seeing that when people get involved in this work, it's healing trauma that they experience. It's healing their relationship with fire and with living in this place that's fire dependent, because they're realizing that fire is a part of life here and that they have an active role that they can play. They can develop a meaningful relationship with fire. It doesn't have to be trauma driven. So that's been a really big learning for me, is just how important this process is for learning how to live in California in a meaningful way. And then that has all of these trickle down repercussions around how we choose to build our homes, what they're made out of, where they're placed. So there are some additional benefits to healing people's relationship with fire and helping them understand what that relationship is and that responsibility to steward land. I think we are also seeing that this is a self-propagating effort. You know, we set a seed in there and now it's so many people are interested in, and as people meet each other in the community, more and more landowners, more and more residents and community members who don't own land just want to be a part of this movement and see change and be part of actualizing change on the ground.
Yeah. And coupled with that is record investment. I mean, the state allocated $1.5 billion for wildfire prevention and forest health last year. I'm just curious. I mean, besides devoting a significant amount of money to the situation, what else does the state need to do to address wildfire prevention? Susie?
Well, I have been participating with the Wildfire Resilience Task Force on different work groups. I know Lenya's been on the Prescribed Fire Work Group. I've been on the Small Landowner Work Group. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's at least 75,000 landowners of 10 acres or more of forests in California. So what this, in my opinion, what the state needs to do is help those people figure out how to manage their own property, help with regulatory barriers, and outreach and education, and cost share funding. There's a big chunk of that funding that you're describing is going into helping landowners do projects which don't give any revenue back, right? So forest management is a expensive proposition. There's so many fuels out there. There's a lot of trees to thin out. And a lot of landowners just don't have the funding to do that. So helping them get through management plans and doing cost share so that they can move forward to reduce that risk on their own property is really how we're going to get there, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Lenya, when listening to Susie, it just sounds like it's a lot of catch up too.
Yeah, we're definitely so far behind on this work, and there's a lot, you know, there's some other things that the state can do. There was a strategic plan earlier this year that was released by the state, a strategic plan for expanding the use of beneficial fire. So if people want to dig in on this, they could, you know, Google that and look at that. And it outlines a lot of different things that we need to be doing in California to increase this work and to get more good fire on the ground. And so some of the things that I've been working on and that we're really lucky to have some leadership in the legislature on are changing the liability standard in California for prescribed fire. We did that last year, which was a huge win. And then this year we're working on setting up a state-backed kind of insurance pool for prescribed fires, so that if, you know, in the rare case that there's some kind of damage from prescribed fire, that we'll have a way to cover that. So Senator Dodd from the North Bay Area has been leading on that, and it's been really great to start tackling some of those policy challenges that we have for prescribed fire. Because like Susie said, landowners are very concerned about liability. And any way that we can help increase their comfort around the liability issue, you know, that really helps.
Yeah, and you're talking about Senate Bill 332. Yeah, and it was signed, you know, just last fall. And when talking about the plan, that the strategic plan, we actually did a segment on that, so people can listen to the Inside segment when it first was published. Sasha, ending with you, I'm just curious, because all three of you are an important component to this as well. Do all of you collaborate a lot together? It seems like y'all are familiar with each other.
Yeah, we definitely collaborate a lot. I've known Lenya since I stepped in this field. She was already like a major leader in this community, and Susie as well. I met Susie when I was in school still. So I'm really honored to be on this show today with two people who've been mentors for me and for over a decade now. We work a lot together, and it's a really pretty tight-knit community of leaders, I'd say, too, all working together very much from the heart, trying to make a difference in this.
Well, I want to thank all of you for the work that you're doing and making the time to join us this morning.
Thanks for having us, Vicki.
Yeah, Thanks so much.
Dr. Sasha Berlman is the director of the Fire Forward Program at the nonprofit Audubon Canyon Ranch based in the Bay Area and is the first graduate of the state's Burn Boss Program. Lenya Quinn Davidson is a fire advisor with the University of California Cooperative Extension in Humboldt County. And Susie Coker is a forestry advisor also with the University of California Cooperative Extension based in South Lake Tahoe. Still ahead, jazz pianist, composer, and lyricist Dave Bass joins us ahead of his concert at the Auburn State Theater. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.